conceal, there's our word kasei, his blood. So at no other place did we find full moon, or could you make full moon make sense? Alrighty, a question here. What does adding a bait at the beginning of a word do? It's a prepositional prefix meaning in or at. So it means in or at concealment or hiding. Alrighty? So, Bakasei mean, does it, in your mind, would it mean reveal moon or the conceal moon, the conjunction? Obviously, it means conjunction, doesn't it? When it's hidden. So, now, we've got any discussion. I'm sorry, I shouldn't. Any questions, maybe? This is kind of old hat for a lot of us, I know. Alrighty, no questions or comments? So it's at conjunction or conjuncture, not at the sighting of the crescent, according to Scripture. Alrighty? So how do we tell when conjuncture is? We can simply go to the Naval Observatory and type in our query, and on your handout you have a listing of astronomical new moon, astronomical first quarter, astronomical full moon, and astronomical last quarter. The astronomical new moon is when the sun, the moon, and the earth are in the same plane. I didn't say the same line. When you have the same line, you have an eclipse. Okay? So next time you see an eclipse of the sun, you can stand there and watch. Oh, man, I got to see Rosh Hashanah. I saw, I looked through my welding helmet and I saw it. So that's Rosh Hashanah as well. If you're in where? Not here at Nebo. You can't always see eclipses from all, you can't see them all over the world because some folk are on the backside over here and some over here and the eclipse is taking place over here. So, we have the phases of the moon, astronomical new moon or conjuncture right here. So looking at March now, we see that conjuncture occurred in March of 2007 on March the 19th at the second hour and the 43rd minute of that day. So at 2 hours and 43 minutes Greenwich time, we had Rosh Chodesh. Okay? Now what time was it in Jerusalem? We add 2 more hours to that, don't we? So that means that in Jerusalem time, because remember, on new moons we're going to appear at Jerusalem and worship Him. That's why we're doing it with Jerusalem time. So we'll be in practice when we get there. So it happened 2 hours beyond this time. So in March, our chart here tells us in March. I can't read it up there. I'm having to read off my computer screen here. It was on March the 19th at 4:43 Jerusalem time. So if we go back to our calendar now, this little dude right here, on this day right here, if this is midnight, 4:43 is going to be way over here, okay? So, now I realize that, we're over here in America, and we're going to be, depending on what time, what kind of time we're exercising, we're going to be over here somewhere behind it. But if we just go ahead and practice as though we were in Jerusalem, when we get there, voila, we don't have to start calculating the way, doing all these hour changes and 2 or 3 clocks running and all that stuff. It's just a lot simpler just to go ahead and do it as though you were in Jerusalem, and when we get there, voila, we're there. So, Rosh Chodesh, or the new moon, occurred right about here somewhere, 4:46 Jerusalem time. So now, by Scripture, we can do a day and a month. One more, we just got the year to get down now, and we can start a year and start our count. So, does anybody think we've misled anybody? Are we? We're certainly not doing this for gain or try to sell calendars. I'd hate to try to convince you to buy a calendar that I had made. My artwork would be so terrible you'd laugh at it. You'd say, no thanks, I'll do my own. And I hope that's what you'll say, no thanks, I'll do my own. That's what I'm trying to get you to come to tonight, the conclusion. No thanks, I'll do my own. So, we know when conjuncture or Rosh Chodesh started, we can do the evening. We know exactly when the evens are on all these blocks of time here. So let's look at the year now. And then we're going to compare. Yes, Frank. Wait just a minute, Frank. Have we got a mic?
Hello. You saying 4:43 is the start of the month? On the March calendar we got here?
Oh, I can barely hear you, Frank.
The 4:43
Jerusalem time.
Jerusalem time. That's the beginning of this month.
That's Rosh Hashanah. That's when conjuncture occurs. Okay. Let's not go any further than that just yet, okay? Let's wait. But that's when conjuncture occurs, okay? That's when it happens. We'll get to why just in a minute. Real important reason why. Alrighty, we don't want to get too much going on just yet. But that's when conjuncture occurred, and that would have been Jerusalem time. We're going to concern ourselves with what's in Jerusalem because one day we'll be there worshiping Him. Okay, any other? I'm going to answer that question, Frank. We're going to answer it real clear. Just as soon as we get the year done, we're going to answer that question real clear. All righty. Anybody feel like we're denying anybody their chance of passing gold, their chance of collecting 200? Are we sending anybody straight to hell if you don't agree with us? We're simply trying to find out what God's Word says. We're bondservants of His Word. His Word. Okie dokie. Does anybody know of a verse that would lead us differently concerning when the new moon, when is the moon new? If you can bring it up or point it out, wherever you're at, Pal Talk, wherever, please bring it up. Alrighty. Nobody gonna bring one up. Alright, let's go then. Let's go on and let's learn how to start the year. We'll take a break. Let's see, it's a little after six. We'll take a break now. Gary's not feeling real well this evening. And we're gonna do this for a little while longer. You wanna take a quick break and do the dance and all, and we'll come back. We'll do the year and then we're gonna fill this calendar in. We're gonna get our feet good and wet. Huh? He's not feeling well. I'm not sure. Robert, he just ain't feeling. Might ask Jeremy.
Since days of long ago, you are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? There is no one, I know not a one. Sing, O heaven, for the Lord has done it. Shout aloud, oh, depth of the earth. Break forth in singing, O mountains and forests. The Lord will be glorified in Israel. Shalom. be afraid to follow your heart. Don't be afraid to tell your truth. Don't be afraid to turn to your family. We are proud of you and the life that you will choose. Yubarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav v'necha. Yasem Cha Shalom. Be a simcha shalom. Ya la 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 la, ya la 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 la, ya la 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 la, ya la 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 la.
Don't let up.
shall be glad in his maker. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing. Let them sing praises to him with timbrel and the lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. And we will bless the humble with Yeshua.
Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song in the congregation of the righteous. Oh, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song in the congregation of the righteous.
Let the saints rejoice in his glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and the two-edged sword in their hand. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people, and we will bless the humble with Yeshua.
Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song in the congregation of the righteous. Sing to the Lord a new song in the congregation of the righteous.
Let the soul be glad in his maker. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing. Let them sing praises to him with timbrel and the lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people, and he will bless the humble with Yeshua.
Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song in the congregation of the righteous. Oh, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song in the congregation of the righteous. Come, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song in the congregation of the righteous. Oh, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song in the congregation of the righteous. In the congregation of the righteous.
Alrighty, it's time for us to get started. I'm going to start out by reading some announcements, and these are real important. Please listen. We know that we're going to be at where this time next week? Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Ingathering. Hallelujah. So, Judy kindly asks everybody, she kindly asks this of everybody, please don't show up down at the camp before 9 a.m. camp time, not Jerusalem time, but camp time, okay? Alrighty, so please don't show up down there before 9 a.m. We got to get just a few little things done, and then, so anytime after 9. If you need directions to the camp,
please call Judy on her cell phone at 828-460-0078. One more time, 828-460-0078. Okay, let's stand and sing the Shema.
Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and has commanded us to hear the sound of the shofar. Will you worship with us and dance, please?
All righty, we're going to sing a little bit tonight. We're going to try to do again some of those songs that we did, learn us some new songs, and really lift up his voice. If you believe the words in these songs, sing out. Hang on a second, I think I've got mute on here. Yep. Okay, maybe this one will work.
For the coming of the King of Glory. All the angels sing their song and declare your mighty words before you. It's the song of victory. It's redemption's glorious part. Victory over sin and death, and salvation for your sons and daughters. See the Lamb who once was slain is alive and rules forever after. See the scars that for all time are a witness to the wounds that he has done. It was not the one who died, risen from the tomb and lived, seated at the Father's side, there to reign for every generation. Oh, challenges. Seated at the Father's side, there to reign for every generation. Oh, yeah, you shall reign forevermore. Oh, yeah, you shall reign. You heavenly gate, for the coming of the King of Glory. All the angels sing their song and declare your mighty works before you. It's a song of victory, it's redemption's glorious part. Victory over sin and death, and salvation for your sons and daughters. And yes, shall
this next song we're going to sing is How Great Is Our God. I want everybody to stand up, because you can sing better if you stand up. Your diaphragm gets some air, and you can really lift His name up. Alrighty. Everybody remember this song from last week? Sing it out, because a lot of it, it's a really, just really pay attention to the words in this song.
Splendor of a King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps Himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, it trembles at His voice, trembles at His voice. How great is our God, sing with me. How great is our God, and all will see. How great, how great.
שברכים גם יחד הנה מה טוב ומה נעים שברכים גם יחד הנה מה טוב ומה נעים שברכים גם יחד הנה מה טוב ומה נעים Shibidachim Yah-Yah-Yah. Hi-hi-ne-ma-tobu banayim. Shibidachim Yah-Yah-Yah. Hi-hi-ne-ma-tobu banayim. Shibidachim Yah-Yah-Yah. Hi-hi-ne-ma-tobu banayim. Shivirachim gam yachad, hine matovu manayim. Shivirachim gam yachad. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom. Every voice Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom.
Hallelujah. the Almighty reigns. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty. Hallelujah, He reigns. Hallelujah, the Almighty reigns. Praise the Lord.
Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Baruch Shem Kibbutz, Shem Kibbutz Malchuto. Le'olam Va'ed, Le'olam Va'ed. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu. Israel, Adonai is our God, Adonai is God. Blessed is God's glory, is him forever. Shema Israel, Shema Israel, Shema Israel, Adonai Elohim. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. I worship you.
The door should fit between that lock, will you? Okay. So we've gotten up to a month, trying to get a month, starting the month. We just looked at reckoning the month. How do we do it? And of course it's at conjunction or conjuncture. That's when it's concealed. And so now we can go from these scriptures that we've seen clearly mean at conjunction, and we can go from that to our little chart right here. Let me get myself oriented just a second. And we can get that on here now. And the whole problem in our minds is getting things out of scripture onto this thing right here. Let me just tell you real quickly, when we get to the land, when we get to into the millennial kingdom, these days won't be called Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because those are names of pagan gods. The months won't be called January, February, March. What two-headed god is the month January named after? Okay. Everybody here? Wade says Janus. Yes, January. Yes, Janus. Okay, alrighty. So, and Mars is named after?
March.
I'm sorry, March is named after Mars. Okay. And so we know the pagan gods that every month is named after. We also know the pagan names that all the days of the week are named after. Saturnalius or Saturn is Saturday. And Sunday is named after the day of the sun in honor of Amun-Ra and all kinds of stuff like that. So just realize that when we get into the land and we're before him on new moon and Sabbath, this stuff won't come out of our mouth, all right? And it's added to the confusion greatly. And it's getting things out of scripture onto this thing right here that we're used to. This is what we've grown up with. This is what we're used to. And that's where the problem lies. Okay, any questions on starting the month? How we do that? And you may ask, well, Moses couldn't calculate conjuncture. He could. And you can too with a simple tape measure. It's not that difficult. The Babylonians could do it. The Egyptians could do it. We know that. We have historical proof that they could. So conjunction isn't that big of a mystery. The ancients were able to do it. There are all kinds of indications that that's what Stonehenge was about, being able to determine certain, relationships between the stars and the sun and the moon. There are locations in America. There's one in New Mexico. There's one in New Hampshire. There's a series of caves in New Hampshire. And you can tell exactly when conjuncture occurs. So, and there's also indication in recent history that men could absolutely tell when conjuncture would occur. It's just this generation that we're living in now, if you give them a globe, they can't even find, they can't, if the names weren't on the countries, they couldn't show you where they're at, because it's just this generation. I don't know what we've got on our minds. But anyhow, let's continue on. Alrighty. So, you've got a chart right here. Oops. Let me get back to the right document here. I can't see my cursor. So we've got a chart right here on our handout that tells us when the astronomical new moon is in 2007 and 2008. So we can just have at it putting in when the months begin, okay, except for one little detail. We're going to get to that real soon. All right, let's look at the year. How do we know how to reckon the day and the month. How do we reckon the year? The year, okay? Let's look at some scripture. Now remember, we're trying to get these verses in scripture and put them on this little dude right here. We're trying to get these verses out of scripture onto this thing right here that we've grown up with that we call a calendar. And we're not actually commanded to make a calendar. We're actually commanded to count days to holy days. We're commanded to do that, but not commanded to make a calendar. And so thus the confusion sets in. So let's get back to reckoning the year. How would we do that? Alrighty, the year. Now, this is where the rub comes between how we reckon time this year, our calendar, and the, quote, Jewish calendar, the Orthodox calendar, whatever you want to call it. This is where you're going to start seeing the differences and why from Scripture. Here we go. Okay, who's speaking here? Yahweh God. Let's read what he has to say. This is not the rabbi speaking. This is not the Hebrew University. I have utmost respect for those folk, but we need to remember that this is the Almighty speaking. Genesis 8:22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Each year has two seasons, cold and heat, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, and our verse is under study marked as the year's end and the return of the year. Now, in our little neck of the woods here, we have four seasons, but in the majority of the world, they have two seasons. I remember in Vietnam, they had the dry season and monsoon. And boy, you knew what season you were in. There was no doubt about it. In other parts of the world, of course, I was out on the ocean. Dr. Robert was inland. It rained out there on the ocean and it was hot out there too, real hot. So, there's two seasons in the biggest part of the earth. We live in a little small area, not all that large. We have four seasons, four distinct seasons. So we're just a bit different, but still, we're thinking about Jerusalem. All right, let's keep reading. From the LITV translation, I like the way that it says the same thing in the other translations, but it's just a bit obscure. Let's see what it says in Numbers 9, chapter 9, verse 2. Also, the sons of Israel shall prepare the Passover in its appointed season. Appointed season. So how many seasons did we learn about? There's two. There's cold heat, seed time and harvest, summer, winter. Okay, so he tells us if you set up your count right, you're going to wind up in the correct season with Passover. And there's a question we should ask ourselves. If Passover has an appointed season, is it possible that Tabernacles has an appointed season? Well, if it's a set number of days from Passover to Tabernacles, then Tabernacles also has a set season that it has to occur in. And he's going to make that very clear in Exodus chapter 34, verse 22. And thou shalt observe the Feast of Weeks of the first fruits of wheat harvest and the Feast of Ingathering, that's Sukkot, that's what we're fixing to do next week, at the year's end. Now we're beginning to get some pretty specific directions. And that word, the year's end, is rendered from the Hebrew word tekufah. Tekufah, keep that in mind. Now think of this as an airplane coming into an aircraft carrier for a landing. And when he approaches that runway, if there are certain lights that line up, he knows he's okay. But if some of those lights aren't lined up, he needs to back up and he better change his course a little bit, okay? So that we're looking to be sure we've got everything lined up with Scripture. All righty. And the Feast of Harvest, the first fruits of thy labor, which thou hast sown in the field, and the Feast of Ingathering, which is in the end of the year. Here's our term again, end of the year. This isn't rendered from Tekufah, though, but it does say end of the year, which thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. So he's beginning to tell us that Tabernacles is in the time of what? Of harvest. So in our seasons up here, cold and heat, seed time and harvest, summer, winter, he's beginning to delineate for us when Tabernacles is to occur. He just told us that Passovers occur in its season. Now let's find out what the season is for Tabernacles. Be sure we get all these requirements down. Okay, he says, when you have gathered in thy labors out of the field. Alrighty, so let's get a little more specific. Look in Deuteronomy. We're going to read this same verse out of several translations. The King James says, thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. Okay, that's a little bit obscure maybe. Let's read some other verses. You shall keep the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after you have gathered in from your threshing floor and from your wine press. Uh-huh. That's telling us that the grape harvest must be over. And what? And you've done pressed out the juice, right? Is that what that verse is telling us? That grape harvest has to be over, and you've done made juice out of it and got it wineskins, crocks, whatever you're going to put it in. Let's read it from another translation, the HCSB. You are to celebrate the festival of booths for 7 days when you have gathered in everything from your threshing floor and the wine press. So it's becoming pretty obvious that grape harvest has to be done, don't it? One more translation, the Scriptures of 1998, perform the Feast of Booths for 7 days after the ingathering from your threshing floor and from your wine press. Alrighty? Now we're looking at the end of the year. We haven't started our calendar. We haven't started our count yet. We're just reminding ourselves of what we have to be mindful of when we start our count. We know our count for the year is going to start at some Rosh Chodesh, at some new moon, at some conjuncture. or thereabouts, real close, we're going to start the count for our year. We want to do it on the right month. If we start too early, guess what? We might be like this calendar was this year, and grape harvest wasn't over. Grape harvest wasn't over when this calendar right here started the Feast of Tabernacles. It was 2 days after the Tekufah. If the Feast of Tabernacles is to be after the Tekufah, this term right here, let me roll it back down. If the Feast of Tabernacles is to be after the Tekufah, they were 2 days after it with this calendar this year. But grape harvest wasn't over. So, you know, they missed some scripture. It's easy to do. Our society is totally out of touch with agriculture. Not many farmers amongst us, and so it's easy to miss things. So, let's keep going. Now we ask ourselves the question, should tabernacles be before the Tekufah, during the Tekufah, after the Tekufah, and what is a Tekufah? Well, what is that? Before we answer that question, let's ask another question, okay? Now, we're looking at Scripture. We're bondservants of His Word. Not of tradition, not of things that other folk have tried to interject and things like that, but just of Scripture. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 22. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said to him, go, strengthen thyself, and mark and see what thou doest, for at the return of the year, and that's the Teshuvah Shanah. We've heard of Rosh Hashanah and other parts of the year, but this says at the Teshuvah Shanah, literally, or the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. Well, now we've got the Tekufah, the end of the year, and we've got the Teshuvah Shanah, the beginning of the year. What could that possibly be? 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 26, and it came to pass at the Teshuvah Shanah, return of the year, that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. So we've got some terms here that I bet every one of us were told and explained perfectly in our New Covenant church setting exactly what those terms meant, right? Yeah, you did. You didn't, did you? No, we sure didn't. And there's lots of good Messianic teachers out there that are explaining it clearly what it is, right? Sorry. You're going to have to dig it out for yourself. You're just going to have to get on your knees, get by yourself, and start studying. Okay, here we go. So what is this Tekufah? And what is this Teshuvah Shanah? What is that? Alrighty. As we said up here in the beginning of the verses, let me roll back down right here. Is there something that we can think of that happens astronomically? I did not say astrologically, astronomically, that has been happening since Yahweh God set this whole thing into motion. Is there something that we can think of that would lead us to believe that, hey, after this thing happens, it's going to start heating up. I can be assured that things are going to start warming up now. Is there something that happens that Yahweh God has set in place since He set this whole thing into motion, that when this thing happens that I can say, well, it's going to get cool now. It's going to start getting cool. It's going to start cooling down. I can count on it now because this event has happened. Is there something that He set in place that I can start looking forward to? Well, it's seed time. It's time. It's going to soon be time to start planting. And then something that happens later on, the end of the year, well, you know, I better start thinking about harvest time. It's time to really concentrate. You know, there's not much time. It's going to get cold. Okay, Robert says equinoxes. He's right, but this is a little pet peeve of mine. I don't like to use that term equinox. Here's why. Let's go back to our little critter here that we're trying to get everything to fit on. How many of you were told that equinox happens twice a year? And it's when you have the same amount of hours of light as you do darkness. A lot of us were. Some of you may have had it explained differently. Well, if that's true, then equinox would have to occur right here. Or would it? Where would it have to occur? It would have to occur at the same time every time, so you can measure the amount of light that we just had and compare it to the amount of dark. Is that correct? But it varies. We're going to say from our chart here, it moves just a little bit. So it's not precise. It's not exact. That particular definition isn't. If you want a real exact definition, as the Earth is going around the sun on a tilted axis, if this is the sun and this is the Earth on its tilted axis, when it gets to a certain point, because it is tilted, there's going to be just an instant in time when the northern and the southern hemisphere receive exactly the same amount of direct light. When it gets on around here, because it's tilted like this, the southern hemisphere is going to receive more. They're having summer. As it comes back around, because it's still tilted like this, then there's going to be a point over here where the northern and the southern hemisphere, just for a split second, receives the same amount of light. That's astronomical equinox, okay? Think of it like that. A time, and you can bet that after it goes around like this and the southern hemisphere starts receiving more direct light than in the northern hemisphere, they're going to start experiencing a cooling down or a coolness, okay? When you come back over to here and the light becomes more direct on the northern hemisphere, they're going to start warming up. Guess what hemisphere we're in? And Israel, we're in the northern hemisphere. So that's something that's been happening since God put it in place, and it is the equinoxes. We just got to get it onto this to start our year, okay? So going back to our chart or to our printout, let me get back to the right document here. The equinox, it controls the year. It ensures the right season. Let me give you a quick example. About 8 years ago, how many of you remember Ramadan being in December? What holiday did we just finish? They observed it in the White House. Ramadan. Because they don't go by the seasons. The equinox has no control over the Muslim calendar. It's just a cumulative calendar. It just counts. So the equinox ensures things occurring in the right season. Okay? Now let's take a look at some requirements for the spring feasts. Okay? Let's go to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. That's where your Bible should be well worn at, because we study and love the feasts. Let's go to Leviticus, chapter 23, verse 10. And we'll be reading from the King James. Says, speak to the children of Israel and say unto them, when you be come into the land which I give unto you. Hey, that's us. We're headed to the land. We better listen up and see what this says and get it right. Because we're going to the land. Hallelujah. Man, oh man, we're going to the land. That's going to be a wonderful time. We're going to be gathered. Hallelujah. Just like this feast of in gathering that we're fixing to go into teaches, we're going to be gathered to that place by Him. Through a great tribulation period. When you be come into the land which I give unto you and shall reap the harvest thereof, what did you just do in that verse? You reaped the harvest. Then our translation says, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits. How many of you know how that word right there is spelled in Hebrew, sheaf? I mean, what's the actual word there that got? Ein, mem, resh. The Hebrew word for sheaf is what? Anybody remember what that was? Remember what in the book of Judges when some men were asked to say a particular word and they couldn't frame it just right, and if they didn't say it just right, they got killed? They said shibboleth, or they said sibboleth rather than shibboleth. Well, that's the Hebrew word for sheaf, and it's spelled ein mem resh, not shibboleth. So what that verse is telling us, when we get to the land and we've reaped our spring harvest of barley, that we're to bring an omer of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And he shall wave the omer before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. And you shall offer that day, and you shall offer that day when you wave the omer, a he-lamb without blemish of the first year, for a olah offering. Remember, we did some study on the olah, what that represents, what that shows us. I'm glad we didn't have to do a bullock that day. We'll be watching a lot of entrails, amen. So we're going to get by on that deal right there with just a few intros. And the meat offering thereof, okay, the meat offering thereof. What is that? You took some of that omer of grain that you had, and you made meal out of it, and did what? Made a cake, and they did what kind of an offering with that? Was it an olah, a minka? Savak shelamim, it was a minka offering. Because that's what minkas always were made out of meal. So you took that barley, not a green sheaf, and ground it up into meal, but the grain heads. So what's this beginning to tell us? That if we start our year too early, we're not going to have any what? Seed to put in our little omer container that we're supposed to take down there. When we be coming to the land which he's going to give us, remember what he said right here? When you be coming into the land, or when we be coming into the land, and some of us might be living up in present day Iraq, or present day Syria, or present day Lebanon, because the land that God gave to his people goes clear to what river? Euphrates? Ooh, that's way up there. And so these folk are going to have to come from way up there down to Jerusalem with what? An omer of barley. And wave it before the Lord. Because what does he say? Let's read on a few verses. And you shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto your God. And it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. So he says, I want you to bring this down to Jerusalem, and we're going to celebrate the Feast of First Fruits. It's going to be a reminder to us then of Yeshua having risen from the dead. Remember what he said about a day and a half before he was offered as the Passover Lamb of God? There were some Greeks came to, was it Thomas, and they said, sir, we would see Jesus. And they got the message to Yeshua, and what did he say? He said, except a grain of what? A seed falls into the ground, but it doesn't make any fruit until it falls into the ground and it comes forth anew, right? Well, that's what this is picturing for us, isn't it? This offering here, this first fruits offering is picturing his death. And when we get to the land, that's just simply going to be a reminder of what he did for us. To the Hebrews of Moses' day and up until Yeshua came, it was a reminder that there's something going to happen that's going to really change things, and it's going to be like seed being thrown into the ground or put into the ground like he was placed into the grave, and it's going to come forth in newness of life. That's what he did. So when we get to the land, it's going to be a reminder to us. So now we've got some requirements, don't we? We can't wind up with our Feast of Tabernacles occurring before the grape harvest is over, because not only do the grapes have to be harvested, but you got to have your wine pressed out, and you surely ain't going to leave it laying on the ground, run down to Jerusalem and real quick and do a feast. You're going to have it after everything's in gathered, is done. So let's go to our little thing on March right here. Now, when did we say that the equinox occurred? Let's go back to the sheet we were just looking at real quick. Whoops, I'm on the wrong document. In 2007, when was the equinox? March the 21st, okay? At 0007. So it was real close to midnight. We almost hit dead on midnight that time, but it was really close. So let's go to our month blank here, and on the 21st right here, let's type in Teshuvah Shanah. That's what I'm going to type in on mine. You can put vernal equinox if you want to, but I'm going to type in Teshuvah Teshuvah Shanah. Okay, let me just make that a little bit larger for you. Oops. Alrighty. You can put in vernal equinox if you want to, that's fine. But I'm going to try to quit using these terms. It's gotten us all confused, and I'm going to try to commit myself to doing it Hebraically like he wants us to. so that when we get there, the word Teshuvah Shana won't scare us to death. The year has returned. It's started over. Well, we had a Rosh Kodesh when? Over here, didn't we? Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and put that in. Rosh Kodesh occurred when? Let's go back to our chart real quick, like. Roll back up here and look at the months. In 2007, March, correcting the universal time, conjuncture occurred right there, March the 19th, and correcting the time to Jerusalem time. Remember, we're practicing as though we were in Jerusalem, so that when we get to Jerusalem, we'll won't have to make any big changes. Alrighty? The 19th at 4:43 a.m. So let's type that in. Go back to our little blank here on the 19th. And give me just a second to get this in here. Conjuncture. Okay, that says 2:43 universal time. That's in Greenwich, England. And to convert that to Jerusalem time, we add 2 hours because Jerusalem is ahead in the rotation. In the rotation of the earth, the sun strikes Jerusalem before it does Greenwich. So we're converting from universal time. Okay, at 4:43 a.m. Alrighty. So now we're about to start a year. The year has returned. Now, right here last year, it's when the Orthodox, or this calendar right here, started their year. Alrighty. If we were in the land, and usually that's what the Orthodox will do, they will choose the Rosh Hadesh, or the conjuncture, that's nearest the equinox. That's how they will start their count, from there. They will choose the one that's nearest, okay? How many of you can say that if... Now let me roll this thing back down, just get down to... regular size here. How many of you know that if conjuncture had occurred, say, here or here, what are you doing to your chances of there being barley that's mature as heads of grain being able to be brought down? And what are you doing to the grape harvest at the end? Is it going to be over? Heck, no, it's not. It wasn't this year. Grape harvest wasn't over. So what do we do? Are we going to start our year here? Is this going to be the beginning of our first month just because it's real close to the vernal equinox right here? The Teshuvah Shana? So what do? We wait. We wait until what? The next Rosh Hodesh. Why? Well, think about it. What season is it? This is still in the season of winter, isn't it? And if you start your year in the season of winter, like the Orthodox many times do, about seven times out of a 19-year cycle, you may not have any Abib barley, and you might be doing tabernacles before grape harvest is over. So if we do this simple principle, if we wait until after the return of the year, wait till after the vernal equinox to start our year, 99% of the time we're going to have Abib barley, and we'll never encroach on the grape harvest. Well, did he require that? Let's go back to Deuteronomy. Give me just a second to get there. Did he require that? Why are we going to all this trouble? Because we love him. He inconvenienced himself to come to this earth and to die and save us from our sins. And so can we inconvenience ourselves a little bit and study and find out what he requires of us? Well, we certainly can. We do it because we love him. Because we love his word, we're bondservants of his word. And he very plainly tells us right here, perform the Feast of Booths for 7 days after the ingathering from your threshing floor and your wine press. So it's to be after the Tekufah, not during the Tekufah, or not at the Tekufah, and the Tekufah is the fall equinox, if you please, or the end of the year. So it's not to be before or just at the Tekufah. Already, real quick, like, let's look at our chart right here. 2007 fall equinox was when? September the 23rd, right? Is that correct? It says equinoxes of 2007? September the 23rd. Well, when did the Orthodox start their feast this year, Feast of Ingetting? The 25th, right? The 25th. It was after the Tekufa by 2 days, but all the harvest wasn't finished, okay? And they were hard-pressed. They would have been very hard-pressed if we had all been in the land, and been, some of us been way up north in present-day Iraq, in that area, to have been able to bring an omer of barley with us. So if we wait until after the return of the year, by that simple principle of waiting to start our year, then we're not going to get in trouble with the grape harvest and with the ripe heads of barley. All righty, so let's get back to our calendar here. So, how many of you think we ought to wait till the next conjuncture before we start our year? That's what we did this year. Now it tells the whole story for you. Now you know why we're a month behind, because we didn't feel like there would be a bee barley, and it was a bit of a problem this year. There wasn't a lot, and if we had been in the land and been way up north, there wouldn't have been, and we knew that it wouldn't be, that grape harvest wouldn't be over with. So we started our calendar, our count, at the next Rosh Chodesh. Let's look at it. Go back to your moon charts, if you would, please. Right here where it tells us when the next new moon is. Let's look at it. It says the 2007 phases of the moon, the next one was when? April the 17th at 11:36 Universal Time. So now if you have another one of these blanks, let's get ourselves up another blank and let's do the month of April real quick, like, and from there you're up and running. You can do your own calendar from that point. It's no problem at all. You can carry it through as many years as you want to go to the Naval Observatory and dig out data for. So give me just a second here. We'll get us up Excuse me, just a second. Mine's going to look a bit different because it's laid out vertically. But that's no problem. So up here at the top, if you would, let's type in April of 2007. Or right across the top up there, April. Isn't this calendar work just wonderful? April began. The first day was on a Sunday, so let's start the very first of it and put a 1 right there. Let me get these numbers where you can see them. Okay, just to kind of spot check your work, the 1st, the 8th, the 15th, the 22nd, and the 29th should be on Sundays, the 7th, the 14th, the 21st, and the 28th should have occurred on Saturdays. Alrighty, now let's go back to our conjuncture chart on our sheet right here. In 2007, April the what was conjuncture? Somebody tell me. The when? The 16th? 17th at 11:36. All right, let's go to our blank for just a minute. Be sure I remember the right. Okay, 7. Whoops. So we're saying that on the 17th right here, is when the conjuncture occurred, but it was at the 11th hour of the day, right? So if we apply the same simple principle, very simple principle, to wait till the next evening, or wait till it occurred at the 11th hour of the day. That's like 11 a.m. And if we change that to Jerusalem time, it's going to be 2 in the afternoon when it actually occurred. So if we wait till the following even to start our day, and then we start Rosh Chodesh, when will we start it? That simple principle of waiting, just like we did with the year. And we waited until we weren't in a season of winter. In other words, you wouldn't start, I'm going to use the pagan names. You wouldn't start Monday while it's still Sunday, or you wouldn't start Wednesday while it's still Tuesday. So if we wait till the next EENT, which would be when? We have to go back to our EENT chart. Somebody tell me when that would be. So I won't have to go through all these files here to find mine. Look on your EENT. J-E-E-N-T, Jerusalem end of evening in April. On the 17th of April, when is even? Okay, let me go ahead and bring mine up. Give me just a second. Okay, it's when now? Okay, the evening, that's going to be morning. It's 17th when? 1704, that's universal time, correct? Is that correct? Okay. This is where it gets confusing. And this is where you've just got to jump in both feet, get busy. It's not hard, it's easy as pie once you do it a million times. Oh, I see what I'm doing wrong. But this is the confusing part. Getting it from universal time, getting it out of scripture, through universal time to Jerusalem. That becomes difficult. All right, let's look at it. We're looking at what day now? In April? What day? The 17th. Here's the 17th. We go over to April. Make sure I'm on the correct line here. Whoop. And 1704, universal time, correct? Alrighty. That's what time it is in Greenwich, England. We've got to add 2 hours. 1904, the 19th hour of the day, the fourth minute of that hour. So that happens to be what time? 7:04 p.m. Is that correct? Alrighty. So that's when, by waiting till the even following conjunction, that's when we start our day, and that's the day that we would start Rosh Chodesh. Okay? By that simple principle of waiting. Alrighty, when did the Orthodox on their calendar start Rosh Chodesh? If you look right here on the 18th, I wish I could have got this scanned in. They started theirs on the 18th at even. Okay, if you'll, did everybody get that part done right there? Was that too difficult? Because you just started your own year, your own month, and now you're ready to start counting. Now you're ready to really roll your britches legs up and get wet and make a calendar. Do a count. It's fun, isn't it? It's hard work. But just apply yourself and you'll make it. So by simply waiting until the next end of evening nautical twilight before, instead of saying, okay, I know the conjuncture is going to occur, at 11 o'clock in the day, and so I'm going to go ahead and start my evening, in what we consider the day before. We wait till it happens. Wait till it happens. Okay? And then we do it. We celebrate. Does that make sense? Everybody's lost, I can tell. Okay, let's back up. Does everybody understand why we went to April? Let's back up. Give me just a second here. Let's get to April. Okay, we went to April to start our year. Why? Because our requirements laid down that we cannot have tabernacles before the grape harvest is finished, and we've got to have barley, seed. We've got to have grain that we can make flour out of for a meal offering. Okay, if we had started it back in March like the Orthodox did, we would have violated that, wouldn't we? Does everybody see that? Nobody sees it? You're quiet as mouses on me. Okay, so we wait until the year returns. That's a principle. You always wait until the year has returned or until after the vernal equinox to start your year. So you will have a beet barley, in other words, barley that you can make meal out of, barley that's seed, okay, that's bona fide seed, and says you won't violate the grape harvest at the end. He's just giving us those indicators so we'll get it in the right season. The right season, okay? So that's why we waited till April to start our year. So when does the year start? It starts at conjuncture in April. So good so far? Everybody with me? So we wait till conjuncture. Conjuncture didn't happen right at evening, at eventide, did it? Remember, we went to a lot of trouble to establish and define what even is. By using Joshua and Jeremiah, we discovered that even is real close to evening, end of evening, nautical twilight. And we can get charts for that. And we can make a calendar then, okay? We can count out way ahead because we've got these mathematical charts that have been very precisely calculated. So we waited till April to start our year. We found out that there was conjuncture when, now what day? We just did it. The 17th, this day right here. But it didn't occur when this day started. Remember, the 17th started over here. Not at this line, this dumb line. This silly line is midnight. This day of the 17th biblically started over here, didn't it? Okay? Well, conjuncture occurs way over here, almost at the end of the day. So we wait until the even, until the beginning of the next day, then we celebrate Rosh Chodesh. But that simple principle of waiting. It's like you don't want to start Tuesday while it's still Monday. Or you don't want to start Thursday while it's still Wednesday. So we simply wait till that time to start. Okay, now, any questions or comments? Does that make sense, what we did? Yes, Elmer. What do we call Nisan? Okay, we started our first month to satisfy the conditions in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Numbers in April. And the Orthodox,
what did we call March?
Well, that would have been Adar. And I went back and worked a calendar the year before. Okay? That would have been a default month, Adar Bet, in fact, okay? So this right here, we're calling this Nisan, or this, the first month. The Orthodox called it the second month. I don't know what the name of the second month is. What is it? What do they call the second month? Iyar, I believe. Yeah, they call it Iyar, I-Y-A-R, it's spelled. So you see that the calendar, it's not that, it just becomes confusing because we've got all these different things going in our minds. If you can understand why we started in April to satisfy those conditions of Scripture and start counting from there, it's real easy. If we count 14th day, if we counted this as the beginning of the month here and we count 14 days, that took us exactly to when we had Passover this year. Okay, now, one more quick thing, and I'm not going to hold you much. I'm going to let you get out. I know this is killing you. One more quick thing. Turn on your sheets to where the very last part of it, where I have on there the way that an Orthodox calendar is made. And as an exercise, now, I've got you started on the year. You've got the tables there for the new moons, for the conjunctures. If a conjuncture occurs after the day has begun, remember you find the day has begun, from your end of evening nautical twilight chart, if a conjuncture occurs after that, then just simply wait till the next end of evening nautical twilight to start Rosh Chodesh. Okay? Call that the new moon. That's when we would celebrate it. Okay, the modern Jewish calendar, they use the rules of postponement. Here they are, laid out. This is them exactly, word for word. They don't hide them from anybody. They're not ashamed of them. They use them. And it has worked well for the all these years that we've been out of the land, but very soon we're going to be back in the land, so we want to do it right. We want to get it right. So we'll do it the way He asked us to do it. So I want you to, the only way you're going to get a grip on this is just start, is to do yourself several months. And so if you will start by doing Rosh Chodesh, or the new moon, for each month, okay, all you have to do is come up here and get you some more of these printouts, or just go home and get on Word and make a document of columns, 7 wide, never how many high you want, and do the months from that, do April through December. On those charts, plot when the new moon is, when the astronomical new moon is, when there's conjunction or Rosh Chodesh, and then compare it with the Orthodox calendar. You'll be surprised. Sometimes you'll be right on with them, and you'll see exactly when they apply the rules of postponement. Okay, it's going to take more time than I want for us to take tonight. If you'll do that this week, or when you get a chance, we can talk about all that at Tabernacles, and we'll be a whole lot more informed. But we've got the year started now, and now you can just simply start counting. Now you know why we were a month later than the Orthodox. Next year we're going to hit right on with. Do a calendar all the way through 2008. It's not that hard. And you'll see that we're going to be hitting right on with them. Why? Because they choose to start their count, and they say right here that the first thing they do is they calculate the Mulad of Tishri. Well, what is that 7 from? 7 from what? Well, it's 7 conjunctures away from the equinox. And they choose the conjuncture or the Rosh Chodesh that's nearest the return of the year of the spring equinox. That's how they start. So they use equinox too. Don't let nobody try to convince you that they don't. They do. That's when they count their first one. They count up 7. Oh, this is Tishri. Okay, Tishri is the 7th month. Then they start applying the rules of postponement. But if you'll simply take this little worksheet home and work with it, it will help you a bunch, okay? And that way we won't be doing our feast in the wrong season. You're all about kill, I can tell by looking at you. I'm going to cut it out. Any burning questions? The best thing I can tell you to do if you've got some confusion is just take one of these month blanks home come up here and get several of them. And start working with it. Put in all the new moons, all the conjunctures, all the Rosh Chodeshes, and then start counting your days to the holy days, you know, to Passover, to first fruits, to Shavuot, satisfying all the requirements of Scripture. Alrighty? No burning questions? Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we're glad for this day. Lord, we're glad for your calendar that the way you've told us to count the holy days, and that we'll soon be in the land. And Lord, that we'll appear before you at every new moon and at every Sabbath, and we will worship you face to face. We look forward to that day. We love you for your goodness and your kindness. We love you for your faithfulness. We love you most of all because of who you are, that you're God Almighty. Thank you again in Yeshua's name. We pray. Amen. One other quick thing, no service this coming Tuesday night, okay? And please don't get to the camp before 9 a.m.